MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Yesha Hatia. She is Senior Director of Research and Consulting at TransUnion Africa. Yesha, appreciate the time. Your TransUnion Q4 2025 Mobility Insights Report is out. Part of the big story, perhaps, is, I mean, it really was a very good year for new vehicle sales, I mean, best in a decade or more.
Correct. In 2025, we sold 422,103 units, which is almost 20% increase compared to 2024. In quarter four alone, there was a 15% year-on-year increase. So it has marked the strongest quarterly volume since the post-pandemic recovery began. And we're going back to at least 2014 before we saw these numbers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Proper numbers. Yeah. Lots driving it. I mean, and I want to deal into sort of what people are buying and the like. But one of the issues, I suppose, is that perhaps we've kept our cars longer, and of course just lower interest rates must be helping.
Definitely. So they all play a role in what's affecting the customer's wallet and their pockets and affordability in general. We're also seeing that, you know, the imports of Chinese vehicles, they're coming in at much lower prices, and we're seeing that demand for those vehicles growing. They are almost one in every five vehicles are now a Chinese vehicle being sold in South Africa. So South Africans are definitely leveraging that affordability piece. They're also thinking about how they're structuring the deals and the type of vehicles that they're buying. Mm-hmm. We saw some interesting numbers around the used to new ratio coming down, which means customers are buying more new cars than used cars. It's quite interesting because if you're thinking about the psyche of the consumer, they're thinking, you know, I'd rather buy a new car, spend a little bit more, buy a new car, and I'd get a servants plan, I'll have a warranty, which takes away some of that risk we would have if we bought a used car. And when it comes to the actual pockets and they're thinking, you know, how do we fund these new cars? We're also seeing that from a financing perspective, that ratio is moving. So people are financing the new cars over the used cars. But quite interestingly, on the finance side as well, we see that they're extending their loans. So we're seeing about 56% of all loans are now more than 72 months in term. Correct. So from a consumer perspective, their monthly installment, you know, doesn't change buying a used or a new, but they have that opportunity to extend the term. So they're playing around with a couple of, you know, factors. And again, that affordability of the vehicle price is definitely helping them as well.
That affordability is the big shift. My sister just bought her car. She got a brand new one out the box. She happened to have bought a Japanese, but it's the same. I mean, the price was, it was akin to what she could have got a brand new car at. Now, of course, you know, different models and everything, but they really are competing strongly on, I was going to say price, but it's more than price. It's value, because it's bells and whistles. It's airbags and screens and CarPlay and everything.
Correct. And so it's not just about the affordability. Consumers are seeing value in these models. They're coming with more than the basics. And as I said earlier on, just having the service plan and the warranties that they offer that gives consumers the sort of peace of mind is definitely something that our consumers are treasuring right now.
Is this very generational? In other words, the younger folks sort of more going for the Chinese, and maybe the older generation still looking at some of those sort of, I'm thinking the top end luxury, and luxury might be in inverted commas, but are we seeing a generational difference?
So within the generations, we do know that our data does tell us in terms of preferences, the Gen Xs and baby boomers, they do seem to be more loyal to brands, whereas the Gen Zs and millennials are after value. They're after value. They're after, you know, the best bang for their buck. If we're looking about intent within the market, their purchasing behavior, you know, across the different age groups, again, that's our Gen Zs and our millennials showing stronger intent to enter the market and purchase these vehicles, where our Gen Xs and baby boomers are slightly more conservative with, you know, taking on that additional assets or taking on that additional debt that comes with that asset. So we do definitely see that differentiation within the generations.
And this, I mean, my sense is, I mean, this really is a fundamental shift. I mean, this isn't something which is, you know, just suddenly, you know, it was like some cheap Chinese or Asian cars arrived on the scene. This really is our motor industry broadly as to what we're going to be seeing on our roads has and is changing, and never say never, but probably not going back to what it used to be in many ways.
Correct. So I don't think it will go back. I think it's still changing. I think there's still a lot more influence coming into the market. There'll be more brands entering the market. The competitive landscape is completely changing, but the buyer mindset is also changing. And so it's understanding that, you know, this it's almost equilibrium driven by affordability, which is also being shaped by the interest rates and the value brand disruption. But we also need to understand the long-term impact of that because, you know, as we spoke about, you know, the terms getting extended, the risk is almost moving forward. And so it's really important for lenders to be aware of those dynamics as well when it comes to extending those loan terms and consumers also understanding what that actually means for the lifetime value of the vehicles.
Yeah. That's actually a great point. What about new energy vehicles, the hybrids or maybe fully electric? I see a few of them on the roads. I see a few of them charging at the shopping center, parking lots and the like. But to my senses, it's still quite a small part of the market.
It is quite small. I mean, it is growing. It's still quite pragmatic. So it's about 4% of our total sales came from new energy vehicles. We're seeing a stronger demand for the hybrids, the plug-ins. And I think that comes, you know, what we call range anxiety. I think people still have that in a bit. And as we're building up that infrastructure, hopefully that sort of anxiety will start to lessen. But ultimately, it's still quite small. I think people like the idea of it. You know, they're buying into the idea of being more efficient and being more sort of green. But ultimately, you know, without the correct infrastructure, we're still going to have that range anxiety.
And that infrastructure is significant. I mean, it's more than just putting someone on the N1 and the N3 so that if I take a, you know, a trip to Durban or Cape Town, I can charge en route. I live in an apartment complex and I simply can't charge. There's a lot to it rather than just a few charging stations at shopping malls and on freeways.
Correct. I mean, we are seeing certain dealers also support that. So, I mean, they're creating portable packs as an example, and they're also building in that infrastructure, you know, along the routes. We will get there, but I do believe it will take some time.
Yeah. And to be fair, when it first came out in the US and Europe, it was the same process, very slow at first. We'll leave it there. Yesha Hirta, Senior Director of Research Consulting TransUnion Africa. Always appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.